December 8th, 2021, it's the Watt for Pete Rose Show. Pedro Show, happy Wednesday. Sore port side arm for the third whack, but it's weird. Start off the show with two bass hit. The alternate take, or an alternate take, I should say, not the. John Coltrane with Miles Davis. And then Brian Day with Seymour Glass, Still Life with Shoe Phone, Don Adams ref. Mel Brooks, who's that other cat? Henry, I don't know, but he wrote jokes. Buck Henry, that's it. Okay. And you can tell people, maybe, because of those other sounds, I am not man alone. Because of them Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got Brian Day with me. Welcome aboard, Brian.
Hi there.
And we got to give big credit to Jorge Bachman, who's going to be on the show soon again, for the connect. Thank you. Gracias, Jorge. When he writes me, it's always, hey, mister. Yeah, I love him, man. And curious about your journey through music. So, Brian, please bring your earliest musical recollection.
I guess the first thing I remember, well, so my dad was a musician, so he played in these kind of various rock bands in Minneapolis in the late 70s. And, so I remember him playing music, but, I remember, the first tape I got was actually like the soundtrack for a really bad science fiction movie called Explorers.
what kind of music did your pop? I mean, what?
He was playing just sort of blues rock kind of stuff.
The instrument, his voice. His
oh, he was a, he was a guitarist.
Okay,
a
guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
A six stringer. Okay, so then there's probably There's probably guitars hanging around in the pad then.
Exactly.
Did you jump on any of those?
I kind of got into, you know, doing the kind of stuff I do now from grabbing his instruments, but I had no idea how to play and I had no interest in learning how to play. So I just kind of like, started messing around with the stuff he had and trying to get sounds out of them. I mean, I kind of got interested in the sort of experimental home taper, you know, music scene in the mid-90s and realized that I could, if I had a release, a lot of labels were willing to trade music. So I was like, oh, cool. If I can come up with an album or some kind of release, I can have some way of paying for various tapes that I was interested in. And we lived in rural Iowa at that time. So there really wasn't any music around anywhere I lived. So trading tapes was really the thing that got me into this whole thing.
Well, what about your first gig? Was it your pop, one of your pop shows?
My first gig was in Minneapolis.
Witness.
Yeah, I think the first, I'm trying to remember, you know, one of the first shows I saw was probably something in Minneapolis. We went to a number of shows when I was younger, but I really don't think I saw any of my pop's gigs.
Okay. And it seems like he didn't have a notion like, I'm going to have a guitar son.
Right, nothing like that, okay. Not at all.
What about school? Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
It was more like visual art stuff, you know? I was, like, into sculpture and painting and installation-y kinds of things when I was a teenager.
Did you ever think about sounds to go with those things?
Yeah, I think that kind of evolved into making sounds, really.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a combination of the fact that I had all these instruments around and that, you know, there was limited money and what could I do with what I had at hand while living in rural Iowa.
You were also using the tape recorder as an instrument.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it was kind of like, you know, very crude multi-tracking using a couple of boom boxes.
Yeah,
totally.
And was there dudes at school, like after school, not there graduated, were, but afternoon, that you guys, like, put together a kind of jams?
You know, it was completely outside of the realm of where I lived at the time. It was all kind of, like, through people I had met via, you know, the early internet and mailing tapes around. So nothing really happened locally until I started playing in Minneapolis in the late 90s.
Okay, you were saying earlier your first gig was in Minneapolis.
Yeah, totally.
And what was that first gig like?
There was a series at this place called Gus Lucky's, which was an art gallery in on Lake Street in Minneapolis, and I had emailed Emil Hagstrom from Cock ESP, which is like a noise band from Minneapolis, and he was friends with a guy I started recording with in not in rural Iowa, in Des Moines, Iowa, very, you know, recently at that time. And so I was introduced to him, and he told me about this series, and I started playing it. I think I went up there every month to play or at least watch the shows at this Gus Lucky's place. A guy named Paul Atkin was the guy who set up this series.
I-35, straight north.
Yeah, exactly.
And Des Moines is the big town for Iowa, and it's smack in the middle of the state.
Yep, right in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it didn't
really. Dirty Mary's? I used to play a pad there.
Yeah. Harry Mary's,
Harry
I think.
Harry Mary's,
there was, that's it. Yeah. And that place existed when I was in high school, and I think it closed in the late 90s, maybe. I could be wrong, but I think it made a comeback
for a little bit or something. But yeah, it was downtown.
Really?
It had old tin roof, you know, those overheads with those little designs and
tiles. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember one time, I mean, this is going way back. I had a tooth, and the guy running the place and his buddy, hey, we know how to fix that, you know. They got a Motrin, and with a pencil, and with the eraser side, they shoved this thing into the fucking tooth hole. I still had to go to the dentist in the morning, and they're in Des Moines, and yank it out. Sir, are you in pain? You know, I guess there was a liability thing he had to ask me. Are you in great pain? Because you just don't yank teeth out of you.
Right.
It was just his personal style. I said, yeah, I am in great pain. And I would like this tooth yanked out. Okay. It was literally like both feet on my chest and the fucking pliers in the mouth. But, the night before, you know, that gig, Harry Mary's, I would go into the boat. You know, I thought we had a couple weeks left of the tour. I'm gonna be able to man this up, right? So I would go into the boat and just grab the steering wheel, you know, with the windows rolled up, and scream, you know, to let the fucking pain out. With Georgie, drummer, man.
Yeah.
He was in there conked. I didn't know. So I just go in there and holler. And he thought it was, gave him a heart attack. Didn't mean it. Sorry, Georgie. Anyway, back to your story about this gig. So
up in Minneapolis, played a few times. Like, I started building.
I
want to
know more about that first one. What was it? Because it's the first, you only do your first one once, right?
Right. So the first gig, I had made some, like, my setup was a few things. Like, I actually had dismantled my dad's bass guitar, which he was not happy with. And, cause I forget what kind of, guitars he had. He had like a Melody Maker guitar, I think, or no, he had a Gibson, Marauder and I forget what his bass was. It was like a P-bass clone of some sort.
Okay. Okay.
And I had taken that apart because I don't know why.
You could.
Because I could.
You know the old aphorism about why does a dog lick his balls? Because
right.
he can. Now, did you have a table there? And this shit was set up on a table?
I think it was all on the floor.
On a deck.
I remember, having an amplifier, some instruments that I had taken apart and reassembled. Like, I had some, like, metal canisters that I had purchased from a thrift store, and I had made some kind of rudimentary metal and string kinds of instruments that I was playing on the floor, making a lot of noise, rolling up against the wall, if I remember correctly.
Physically rolling around like, like the worm. You were doing the worm.
Kind of the worm. I remember there were a bunch of, like, sort of, like, the gallery had a bunch of, like, porcelain face, like, faces or mouths or something on the walls. And I remember, like, the guy who set up the show looking at me like, no, don't, like, knock any of that shit off the wall.
I think it was, like, at Mardi Gras, those masks. The Buckethead wears one. I remember someone, we played a gig, Perk and Nels, myself, Banyan, at the Troubadour. And he was with, maybe Bill Aswell or something. But anyway, somehow the mask got off and he freaked out. He pulled out his nunchucks and the little fucking Kentucky Fried Chicken purse backpack he was wearing and just whooping on his amp and stuff. It was bizarre. You know, you need this shelf life. Georgie had a word because, you know, above the equipment in the boat, right, you build structure so shit don't kill you, you know.
Right.
Comes forward. Well, it also doubled as conch space for Georgie, and he called it the shelf, and he called it shelf life. So this is special, Brian, special meaning for me. Thank you.
Thank you. The star of the football team with a bright future ahead of him. He was popular in school, a catch for the ladies and the envy of the guys. He did pretty good when it was time to hit the books, but he was fast out there on that field with those overhead lights shining so brightly upon him as he ran the football into the goal. Touchdown. The game had been won. They were going to state. Cue up the marching band and shake the pom-poms. They did it. Well, they didn't win state, but at least they placed. After school, he got a job as a butcher at the local market, chopping the meat, slicing the cows into steak, grinding those cattle into hamburger, cutting those pigs into chops, grinding their bodies into sausage. For the breakfast, lunch, and dinner of the local townspeople. It was decent work. 20 years passed by in the blink of an eye. 20 years happened just like that. He's not as fast as he used to be, and that knee is still bothering him. His stomach sticks out a little. No big whoop. We all age. 20 years. It was hot out that day. He stopped into the bar. She was a cheerleader, also very popular and well-liked. She glowed with the beauty of youth, with a bright future ahead of her. She did okay in school, but she couldn't afford college. 20 years later, and on the week of the dissolution of her second marriage, she found herself at the very same drinking establishment. Their eyes meet from across the bar. They recognize each other after all these years. They share stories and drinks. 20 years ago suddenly seems like yesterday. They were never close back then, but they are both happy to have a connection. A connection back to the glory days, to no longer be alone in the world. They leave together and make out in a car, their passion for each other running wild, with their drunken hands groping at each other's bodies in the summer heat. They lose themselves to lust and return to the glory that awaits them.
Walker Pedro Show, that chunk of music started off with Shelf Life, the parallel universe, very real thing for Mr. George Hurley. touring with Minutemen, Pyros. And I don't know how to say this song title, but so it's like Polish, right? All consonants. Oh, old Hebrew. Sotuwerdyk. Maybe. And then brand new from Ava Mendoza. She's got a new album. This is
yeah.
Yeah, she had some cats write her music for her to play solo guitar on it. Trevor Dunn did one in I played last episode. No, I'm going to play. Yeah, because it's got to be Sunday. And then the bass man, Devin Hoff. Mm. Some other cats, too. Hack Picciato. Picciato. Get it right, what? They got a brand new album. This is Kurt Chain. R.I.P. Florence, or maybe it's Rip Florence. I hope you have a nice day. It's an album, though, a tribute to, what do you call them, that band? Television Personalities, England.
Mm.
Yeah. Part-Time Punks, I remember that was their big song. And I know where Sid Barrett lives.
Yeah.
Remember that song?
Okay. Yeah.
And then, brand new, from Iowa. Okay, this is Iowa City. And I think Bob Buckle Jr., he's Dubuque, but
Lockwood.
I've been collaborating with him. And this is their collaboration in a tune called Glory Days. Man, awesome. These guys are prolific. And Sam
Lockwood, I know
also,
both of them.
Yeah, also with the comic books and shit. I mean, this guy is artistic expression personified. Sam Lockwood. And then Bad Jazz, finally.
Awesome.
Quinoline. So continue on. So that gig was a success. The porcelain mask didn't get wrecked, and you still got to do the worm and all that shit. You got the bass back together again for your pop?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, I it turned into something. I don't think he found out until years later.
Okay.
Because that was in storage.
Okay.
Yeah. So from
parts
there.
Parts. Yeah. From there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, from there, let's see. I ended up playing a lot of shows in Minneapolis. The guy who set up the series had this group called Unconditional Loathing, and we did a lot of kind of noise shows and weird rock stuff. We'd play there every now and then.
It just came to me. The last time I played Harry Mary, the other band was Fetal Pig. You know them?
Fetal Pig sounds familiar, but no, I don't know them.
Kind of a heavy, hard rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, when the memory comes, I got to blur it out because it is gone, or it'll be gone forever. So, I'm starting to remember these cats. They made also a compilation of friends of theirs and stuff, and I wrote them a song for it and performed it. And I remember the chorus had something about Iowa. So it was a little tribute to your state. But a lot of you're not doing Iowa gigs; they're all in Minneapolis.
Yeah, there was Des Moines really had very little going on other than like a sort of, there was a metal scene and Harry Mary's was like the metal club, for the most part.
Yeah.
And then Iowa City had most of the, like had the biggest scene in Iowa and still kind of does.
Probably Blackhawks.
Hawkeye. And, but Minneapolis had a kind of a large...
same colors as Pedro High, black and yellow, right?
And
then these assholes have bum-rushed this color scheme. Fuck, I was starting to Marinaio album was going to use... Yeah, because they came to Pedro from Italy, you know, to record with me, so I thought, hey... Even our theme song's called The Black and Gold, right? We're talking about 5 years ago, you know, a long time ago, but... And it just shows how things can just... change like that.
Right.
Okay, so, but you're also doing the thing with the mail. Now, were you in contact with Al Margolis? Didn't he have the big...
Oh, yeah, I got in touch with Al Margolis a bit later, but yeah, Sound of Pig Music and Pogus Production.
Yeah, in the 90s, he switches to CDs, right?
Yeah. I was in touch with him. Yeah, definitely kind of that scene throughout the next decade or so. So I played in Minneapolis a bunch of times and then ended up moving to Omaha because there were a lot of people that were doing weird music there, and it's super cheap to live in Omaha, like way cheaper than Minneapolis, and there was actually a music scene there, an art scene there. So the Shelf Life, which you're playing, that was a Nebraska group that I started a few years after moving there. Bunch of people who played in different scenes, both in Omaha and Lincoln, Nebraska. And it was like, it kind of ran for about 4 or 5 years. And we actually started working on a new album, earlier this year. Like, I got in touch with all the people. They've all moved all over the place, and we're starting to work on some new material right now. So actually one of the guys in Shelf Life lives in Iowa City now, so.
Well, and how big was this band? How many members?
Oh, geez, like 4 or 5 kind of regular members. Yeah.
And so between Shelf Life and that first gig you did in Minneapolis, what was happening with you?
Oh, Shelf Life? Well, Shelf Life
doesn't happen until Omaha, right?
Yeah. Minneapolis is a solo gig, and so Shelf Life happened after moving to Omaha.
So when you were in Minneapolis, you never had a band. It was always band.
Yeah, it was all solo stuff or duos that were kind of set up by the organizer of the music series I played there. There's another series that I'd sometimes play that a guy named Matt St. Germain organized, and he was kind of like, did a lot of the kind of like noisy rock stuff in Minneapolis at that time, like the experimental noise rock.
Who did my gigs in Omaha at the Ranch Bowl? John Wolf, I think.
Yeah, Ranch Bowl. Mm-hmm.
And is John Wolf cellophane? He had a band, this is years and years ago, and I think the Ranch Bowl's tore down.
Yeah, it's no longer.
People, it was a big bowling alley.
It was like a bowling alley, yeah.
And they had this room on the side. For a while, they had a radio station.
Right.
It was really trippy. But, you know, the routing. If you do U.S. tours, you're going to play Omaha mm-hmm. a lot.
Yeah.
People say, why are you always playing Salt Lake City? I say, look at a map.
Yeah, Highway 80, man. It's like between Chicago and
D. Boone. Also,
Chicago and Denver.
Special connect because D. Boone's pop was from Nebraska.
Oh, really? Wow.
I did some Wichita. What was it? Knickerbockers? They had a big, giant wooden guitar on the bulkhead.
Yeah, there's one. Wichita or Lincoln? Lincoln had a place.
That's it. Lincoln.
Lincoln had a place called Knickerbockers. I think it still exists. Okay. Yeah, it was kind of like...
It's on the prairie, right? It's the capital. It's got the big school, Big Red or some shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, like I told you, the memory, right? That's why I kind of blurred them out because, man, it's...
Yeah, I played at Knickerbockers a few times. It was kind of like a place to play. It was... I don't know if it still exists. It's been about a decade since I lived down there, but... Yeah. Or up there or whatever, but yeah. It's definitely... it was definitely a place.
Bad Jazz,
yeah. So Bad Jazz was one of the first groups I started when I moved to the San Francisco area. It was Tanya Chen, who is a Australian-British pianist who liked to do stuff with, like, Broken Toys. And then Ben Solomon, who is a Mills College guy who... built instruments, like percussion instruments and stuff like that.
I think they saved that school. Somebody stepped up. Look, yeah, we're at the end. We're going to have to continue with this because we're at the end of the first hour of the December 8, 2021 edition of Pedro Show. Special guest Brian Day. Hold tight for hour two. December 8, 2021. It's the second hour of the Pedro Show.
Thank you.
for Pedro show. We start off the second hour. Part four, Collision Stories. Probably the worst band name ever, Babes New York City. No, not Collision Stories, but Babes New York City. I like their songs, but man, I don't like that band name. I mean, New York Dolls, but not Babes New York City. Okay, All the Bad Things. And then brand new from Mama Leak, Siri Won't Die No More. Whoa. A Naturalist, with the E, stuff, maybe. It's just air conditioner. And likeness to you, these projects here. You got Collision Stories and Naturalist.
So, Naturalist.
It's Naturalist. Fuck, okay.
Yeah. Naturalist was a group that was founded in Omaha, like a year or two before I moved there, but by a guy named Lonnie Methy. And after moving to Omaha, that was kind of like the first project I was part of. And
this what you're,
it's a new album. It's something we recorded in Shanghai because one of the members of Naturalist ended up moving to China.
Yeah.
But that project was the first project I had when I was in Nebraska. So probably the first project I was really part of, even before Shelf Life.
Okay.
And everyone ended up moving out of the city except for Lonnie, who still lives in Omaha, but the rest are in like, one guy lives in Pittsburgh and the other lives in Shanghai and I live in the San Francisco area. So.
Yeah, we can use the internet for more than just spreading bullshit and lies. We can also collaborate.
Exactly.
You know, which was so harder to do in the older days, right? You were mailing each other cassette tapes and shit, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we ended up, recording some of that in Shanghai. Some of us went on a trip to, Lonnie and I went to, Shanghai in 2019 to play a show and do some recording. And so we started the project there and then finished like doing some multi-track recording via internet, over the next, 6 months, year, something like that. So that's what that project is.
And then Collision Stories, it's coming out soon, right?
Yeah, Collision Stories. We have two albums. I think I sent you one from the first album. So we started around 7 years ago, 6 years ago. It's Michael Gendreau and Jorge Bachman and Mason Jones. And they are people I knew before moving to the city for the most part. But, I just wanted to have some kind of project when I moved here. So it's probably the first people I contacted to do some recording, and we started that project then, and that's off our first album, the song you're playing, and we just finished a new one right before the COVID shutdown, and that album is out, like just came out right now, like a couple days ago.
Now, where in the timeline? You're talking about the city and stuff when you move there. Bad Jazz, is it before or after?
Around the same time. Oh, it's okay. A little bit after. Yeah. So Bad Jazz, both of these groups started.
Can you continue with the Bad Jazz spiel?
Yeah, Bad Jazz started around 2014, I believe. And I think Collision Stories started the same time. And I moved to the Bay Area around the beginning of 2013. So, Bad Jazz. Tanya Chen, Ben Saul, and myself doing like sort of improvised music using toys and broken electronic stuff. And we toured, I think, three times East Coast, twice on the West Coast. Tanya lives in New York now, and Ben lives in, I think, rural New Hampshire now. I think he's running a, ukulele shop.
Yeah. Well, a lot of New Hampshire's rural.
Yeah, totally.
And intense. It's almost like a mirror image of Vermont, the way they worked that out.
Right.
Ain't that trippy? East Bay, Brutal Sound Effects Crew.
Yeah.
You're aware? Okay.
Yeah, Because
I think some of these connects, I think the Jorge Bachman connect was through them.
Yeah, through like Grux and...
I don't want that mentioned.
Oh, okay.
He said Brutal Sound Effects Crew.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Can't unring the bell. Like that's what the judge told the jury, right?
Oh man!
Look, you
I was
this,
not informed.
Look, I didn't know either until you know. Yeah. Well, anyway, sorry, brutal sound effects crew.
Brutal sound effects
member,
crew.
Right? It's not even the crew. It's a member of the crew. Yeah. Anyway, I know that cat going back when he was a kid. He'd come to Minuteman shows.
Oh wow!
Yeah. Had a little fancy. Look, you gave me this project, and you had another one. Euphotic. I'm gonna play with the hard title. Okay, here.
Thank you. como el tibete, nueva huela en pasión. Ama, huina, a bicho si de flow. This is ya la baby, ama, me hace si de flow. Si mi yo sirve, y con mi casa se show. Si rizo de lecha, se si di si gala go. Hey, seki, seki, me me si peki, peki. Si di ma se pide, si si ya rosa, leide, leide, niko. Ever ready to antia, januari. Si 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 da marabella, ne me me, am necessary, ama. Business.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro, show that chunk of music. Euphotic?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Euphotic, yeah. Fuck, I don't want to screw up this pronounce also. But this title, it's like, reminds me of the, what the fuck are they called? Rubber O Cement?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Their titles with Twig, who's in Baltimore now.
Right, Twig Harp.
Been on the show, yeah. Histiotoithis Bonelli, maybe. And then Civic Noel, Hang Time. There's a bunch of stuff from Joyful Noise. Don't you blank it when that happens. Mike Adams and Honest Weight. Juice. This is from Brother Shige, Berlin. He went to Uganda and collabed with some electronic guys there. Scotch Rolex featuring MC Yala.
Nice.
And then finally, Pater with Harrier Spray. So in likeness cool. to Euphotic and Pater. Please.
Yeah, so Euphotic started probably about 6 years ago. It's Tom Dill, who I think you had on the show.
That's right.
Cheryl Leonard, who
built... Did he do trumpet?
Yeah, trumpet and electronics. Been kind of a, you know, big player in the Bay Area scene for a long time. Cheryl Leonard, she builds instruments out of, like, animal bones and stones and has done performances with, like, performing icicles and things like that. actually, we just played in Joshua Tree, or just outside of Joshua Tree, like, 2 weeks ago. This desert
90 miles from Pedro.
Yeah, Desert Soundings Festival, kind of experimental music festival in, like, I think Wonder Valley area.
What do I know? I know Pioneer Town. What's it called? No, Hollywood built this town and they only used it, you know, because it got tired. It was in every fucking movie they weren't thinking. And then Vikings took it over. And then this Pepe and Harriet Club.
Mm.
Yeah, I played there and some. But I've got some friends who, you know, a lot of musicians moved out to Joshua Tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a little too the Scorpion thing. I recorded a couple of years at Casa de Laurent Luna? Rancho de la Luna. Yeah, Dave Catchin. Memphis guy. Pater?
Yeah, Pater is me and Victoria Shen or Yvette Shen.
Oh, she's been on the show.
Yeah.
In fact, I just shared the stage with my missing man and her in Denton, Texas at the Unhinged Festival.
Oh, awesome.
She had styluses on starboard hand for the thing, for the nails, had styluses glued on there.
Yeah, turntable styluses, yeah.
Yeah, which you use on record player, right? And then she had these records that were all melted together and, you know, was playing, you know, as we were doing Stooges Funhouse. It was the most trip.
That's awesome. But yeah, we played a show together like a month ago, 2 months ago, something like that. She had an art opening in San Francisco at a little cloaca gallery place. Yeah, she's awesome. I met her a few years ago online because both of us kind of build our own instruments and have
she worked in a synthesizer company. And this,
yeah.
She found out how to make this shit.
Yeah, totally.
it's great.
Yeah, so she recently moved back to the Bay Area. She was living in the Boston area for a long time. So I was doing like a series of like art shows for people who build instruments. And I kind of... She was someone who I had just heard about like a couple of years ago and I got in touch with her about that. And, you know, since then we've been, you know, and
now, this goes back to like, it's not just an electronic, right? It's a Harry Parch thing.
Yeah, totally.
You know, you got sounds, you want to compose pieces that have sounds that no other stuff has. So you got to make it.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, that's kind of the world I'm living in, you know, building instruments and trying to find some new thing.
Yeah. Or repurpose.
Yeah, exactly.
We're at the end of the second hour, December 8th, 2021. Dish Watt Pedro Show special guest Brian Day. Hold tight, hour three. December 8th, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
dear brothers and sisters, dear enemies and friends, why are we all so alone here? All we need is a little more hope, a little more joy. All we need is a little more light, a little less weight, a little more freedom. If we were an army, and if we believed that we were an army, and we believed, but everyone was scared, like little lost children in their grown-up clothes and poses. So we ended up alone here, floating through long wasted days of great tribulations, while everything felt wrong. Good words, strong words, words that could have moved mountains, words that no one ever said. We were all waiting to hear those words, and no one ever said them. But the tactics never hatched, and the plans were never mapped, and we all learned not to believe. And strange, lonesome monsters lurked through the hills, wondering why. And it was best to never, ever, 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 ever wonder why. So tangle, oh tangle, up in bright red ribbons. Let's have a parade. It's been so long since we had a parade. So let's have a parade. Let's invite all our friends and all our friends' friends. Let's promenade down the boulevards with terrific pride and light in our eyes. 12 feet tall and staggering, sick with joy as the angels sing and light in our eyes. Brothers and sisters, hope still waits in the wings. Bitter spinster, patient, lonely, shivering, waiting to build her glorious spines. Because of our plans, man, our beautiful, ridiculous plans. Let's launch them like greening jet planes. Let's crash all our other planes into the river. Those strange and weird machines. Jericho.
Thank you.
For Pedro Show, start off a little wide end of the pontificate, a little off the air there with my guest. Sorry, Brian. Fucking soapbox walk. We start hour three off with Automobile, Department 52. And then, here's a band name, the Silver Mountain Zion Memorial Orchestra and Tra-La-La Band, right, out of Montreal. Good catch.
Right.
Godspeed, you Black Emperor personnel on them.
Yeah.
Built Then Burnt, Hurrah, Hurrah. Thomas Prendon, Sugui, Segway to Joy. Sugui. I used to say that as a kid. I was such a fucking idiot. Just like I thought Jimmy Joyce's first book was Dubliners. And Raymond said, no, it's man, it's, dudes are from Dublin. I was like, oh, man. Yeah, fucking idiot. And then finally, Bob Marsh and Brian Day with Crease Agendas. I had Bob Marsh on the show, man, and he was beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Gentleman, and he came up with the idea of jump from the pole. Like, you know what I mean? Okay, because of the COVID-19 and stuff, yeah, a lot of trading files. But I've been trying to do, like, that file is the first time I hear it, I play to it. Like, they were in the room with me. I made a couple albums with people, I mean, hardly met, but just did it that way, you know, try to be improvised. Jack Wright, right, with the Free Musics, he's been on the show.
Yeah.
In fact, he's so pure, this three-layer cake project with Brandon Seabrook and Mike Pride, he wouldn't be part of it because, look, you're not in the same room with me. You know? But I understand that. So, please, I think Bob was called me from Pueblo, Colorado.
Yeah, so Bob used to live here in the Bay Area.
Yeah,
Yeah, we were roommates.
He talked about that fucking piano, right? That bitchin' piano he moved around and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
His story was amazing. If you know, all the shows are archived, so you go back TWFPS.com, you can listen to Bob Marsh. Beautiful, inspiring man.
Yeah,
I guess
yeah,
he makes
totally.
Music out of anything. Everything.
Right, yeah. He has this chair he puts over his head that he calls the cello. That's like a cello chair. Yeah. Yeah, he's amazing.
And how'd you meet him?
I met him. So I've been
you were
running
roommates with him.
Yeah, well, I knew him before that. Okay. We were kind of I've been running a record label since the late 90s, and he was one of the first kind of like free improv folks that kind of got on the label. It was mostly kind of like weird noise stuff at first. And so Bob and Jack, Automobile is related in a way because the guy in that group introduced me to Bob Marsh, a guy named John Fretheim, who was another Midwesterner who was doing like weird music at the time. And we had a couple one-off collaborations, which was Automobile. And he introduced me to Bob.
Tom Dill, I think, was originally Midwest Tours or Plains.
Bob?
Tom Dill.
Oh, Tom Dill. Yeah, he's from Indiana. Indiana and then Taos, New Mexico.
Right. Really interesting. Bob, you know, Sly Stone says, it's not where you're from, it's where you're at. He was so fucking right.
Totally.
Because you don't pick where you're from, right? But you can kind of maybe pick where you're at.
Yeah, totally.
So Automobile came together with a connect with Bob Marsh.
The other way around. Oh, so sorry. Bob Marsh came together because John Fretheim in Automobile moved to Minneapolis. This is kind of before I was even like that in contact with people in Minneapolis. I was just playing a few shows, but my friend in Iowa that I met through a summer job, and I were starting to do a little recording every now and then he moved to Minneapolis and got kind of connected with the free improv scene up there and met Jack Wright and met Bob Marsh through that whole thing. And yeah, crazy thing. And then he moved. Wow. He ended up moving to California for a year or so, and then moved to Jack Wright's place in the house that he Spring Garden house. I don't know if you talked about that much, but
yeah,
So he moved to the Spring Garden house for a little bit, and then now he lives in. He's like does some kind of computer stuff in Wisconsin, but. But yeah, John introduced me to Bob, and like when I was trying to find a place to move outside of the Midwest, because I was just kind of sick and tired of living there, Bob said I could live at his place for a while. So I ended up moving, when I moved to California like 8 or 9 years ago, I moved in with Bob and lived there for a couple years. And yeah, it's amazing.
Really? People ask me about the old days. I said the old days was a lot about people. I think the new days are a lot of fun.
Yeah, totally.
As always, right? Look, you gave me yet another Proj collab. This is Quarter Merchants from Seated Plain and Hal Ramel.
Ah, nice. Thank you.
Whack for Pedro, last music for this edition. Started off with Corner Merchants. Well, that's the name of the title, Whack. The project name, Seated Plain. And that's like, not fancy, but plain. You can't fly it, people. And Hal Ramel? Rammel?
Hal Ramel, yeah.
Yeah, Hal Ramel, okay. And then after that, we had the Klang Quartet, Scotty Irvin, with Live at Peak Signals, October 19, 2019. Finally, Eloin?
Eloin, yeah.
Eloin, okay.
Yeah.
Breathing Machines and Lightness, right.
Yeah, so Seated Plane was a project I started with another guy who surprisingly builds instruments out of Nebraska named Jay Kramer. And like a few years after moving there, I started a music series, and a friend of mine from Minneapolis had moved down to Nebraska and had started some project in Lincoln. This is when I lived in Omaha. And he said, hey, can I have my new project play at your series? And I was like, sure. And show started, and the guy, one of the members had like all these instruments that kind of looked like the things I was building. I was like, holy shit. You know, how does this, how do I not know who you are? And I've lived here for like 3 years or whatever. And so we started playing together very regularly, went on tour of Europe, bunch of tours of the U.S. and, still get together every now and then, like do some online recordings. He has some friends here in the Bay Area, so we record whenever he comes to town. And he's going to India next year, and I invited me to go along with and do some like, instrument building for this Fulbright project that he got a fellowship for. So, excited to hear more about that thing, this project when it comes up. But yeah.
And that's the other project?
Yeah, the other project is solo. When I stopped doing really loud improvised stuff and started to do more like, you know, field recordings and quieter stuff, I changed the name. And no meaning behind the name, but it's, yeah, just a multi-track, like, you know, solo recordings using my homemade instruments and then just like found objects and machines and field recordings and stuff. And yeah, that project.
Again, using a tape recorder or a recording device as an instrument.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. Yeah, definitely.
Just like a cameraman, right? That's what you're doing, capturing light, right?
Right. Like, I have an old.
You know what I
mean?
What if you had a thing that just blasted strobe light, right? You know, no, it captures light. And then, same with the recorder, you know, it can be very, very musical. And look, do you still got the label going?
Yeah, I still have the label.
Where can people find it on the internet?
It's publiceyesore.com is the label. Next release is, actually, you mentioned Zev earlier. We have this Illusion of Safety Zev LP.
I love
that's
that
like,
guy, man. And Blake Edwards took care of him in his last years. That was beautiful.
Yeah, so that's coming out along with, you know, it's a co-release with a bunch of other labels. And next year, I just put out a bunch of stuff right now. There's a solo album by a group called Ipsmail out of southern Germany, and then there's like this free improv like group out of Oaxaca, Mexico, called Orasik. And this I don't know if you
this stuff.
Yeah, there's a guy out of another guy out of DC named Jeff Sirak. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He ran this Zero Moon Records, and I've just put out a solo album of his.
A group that I really like from DC right now is Model Home.
Oh yeah,
this guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pat, he's actually from Buffalo and Nappy or some singer rapper, and it's a really good band. Also, Bombas Prentice from that area. Well, look. Yeah. I'd love to hear what you bring out of India with Hal, okay? So
yeah.
Maybe
we
can get that together.
Yeah.
Can you guys come back on the show? Or you
Back
on the show with him and we can rap about it?
Yeah, me and Jay Kramer. Hal Rammel's another instrument builder.
Oh, that's right. So. That's right. What? Man, my pop would say you'd fuck up a two-car cracker funeral.
Well, I would too, so it's okay.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, because these men deserve respect. But please come back on the show and let's talk about this music coming out of India. That's a place where I still haven't been able to play. I got to play in Shanghai.
Awesome. I'm also going to Brazil in March to do some shows. So, and I work at a science museum. We're doing like an install down there, so of like new.
Yeah, why not, right?
So some weird stuff coming out of Brazil as well that I'm going to be working on.
Yeah,
so.
Great music pad, man. There's some. They call the bass the baixo.
Yeah.
Right. The X's have the SH sound. It's trippy. I love it. Anyway, thanks for being on the show. Truly, keep on keeping on, Brian.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. This is awesome.
December 8, 2021 edition of the Wap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.